are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
All right, let's just get it straight out of the way up front. I sound pretty disgusting this morning. So I've got a little bit of a head cold, and which is just fine, because if I take a break for a hanky, that's just an opportunity for you to turn to the person next to you and say, what wonderful ministry we're having this morning, okay? So if that happens, I got my Bible, I got my thing. I should get my hanky out just in case. You never know. Emergency. Righto, so we've got that out of the way. Welcome to church. How are we? Everybody good? Well, last time I was up, I preached a message. We were doing foundations, and I preached a message about, you know, your foundation of having a bedrock of faith in God, understanding the Bible, the Word, and having that foundation of faith in God in the storm. You remember? Anyone remember that? It's okay if you don't. Like, I don't remember most of the stuff I preach either. But I preached about foundations in the storm, and it was a good message. I tell you, it was a 4 out of 10, definitely. It was pretty good. And let me tell you what happened. We then went through a storm, and we had to hold on to our foundation. It was as tough a thing as we've been through in 20 years of marriage, with our boy getting real sick. And the church was amazing, by the way. Just so much love, support, prayer, meals, visits to the hospital. It was incredible. So really thank you for that. So yeah, I preached about going through a storm and holding on to your faith, and then we didn't. So today I'm preaching about how to be healthy, wealthy, wise, better looking in zero easy steps. Who's for that one? Yes, all right, great. Fantastic. So it might be a short message anyway. There's a great scripture. Psalm 98 verse 4 says this, shout joyfully. Everybody just shout. Yeah, not bad, not bad. We're the young adults out. Give us a shout, young ads. Yeah. They got it. All right. So shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. The title of my message this morning is Shout. It's good, isn't it? When I say shout, probably generationally, you know, there's a few people who go, oh, Johnny O'Keefe, yeah, yeah. And then there's a few people from the 80s who go, well, shout, shout, let it all out. And then there's the young people, and I say the word shout, and I don't know what they think of because I'm not young, but, you know, there's probably songs. There's something about shouting when you go to the footy. I'm sure, Tom, when Melbourne, you know, got over the line on Friday night, there was a bit of shouting there, Tom, I bet. There was a bit of excitement there, maybe last night, when the Pies somehow stole it. You know, it was probably a bit of shouting in the Blacker household. Was that right, Claudia? Is it? You're at it. Oh, you missed it. Oh, man. Oh, that's tragic. Better been a good wedding. It's wonderful. Like, it's almost medicine to our soul sometimes to shout, to go to the footy, have a good rant, have a good shout, watch it on the TV. My boys sometimes tell me that I shout a lot at the TV. Well, I'm not. I'm very supportive of the umpires. I give them lots of encouragement. One time I was invited, I was in the US and a friend of a friend, you know, he hooked up this thing. He said, would you like to preach in a black church? Would you like to preach in an African-American church? And I was like, yeah, like that'd be amazing because I've only ever seen African-American churches on TV. And I thought this would be incredible. And so he said, righto, I'll pick you up at 10:30. I said, okay, cool. So church starts at 11. He goes, no, church starts at 9. Oh, mate, sorry, 10. Church starts at 10. I'm like, what do you mean? Why would we turn up so late? He goes, oh, man, they just go on and on. Their worship just goes on and on and on for like 90 minutes. I says, well, I want to be there. Pick me up on time. I want to be there. So he picked me up on time. He was protesting, but he picked me up on time. And we went there, and then he took me up to the office, and I could hear this music going on, like this pounding piano music and the whoops and the hollers. And it's a church about this size, and it was going crazy. And we're sitting up in an office, And I'm like, why are we in the office? I want to be downstairs amongst the people. And he goes, nah, man, it just goes on for too long. And I says, that's it, I'm going downstairs. And so we went downstairs and he's like, all right. He sat right at the back. He's a minister, by the way, and a very good man. Very, very good man, good friend of mine. But he sat way up the back, just like, and I sat right at the front, and it was fantastic. All the musos, you would have loved it. It was pounding keyboards, lift him up, you know. And all the African ladies, or African-American ladies, they're all doing this move where they all do this thing. They got the hankies out, they're dressed up to the nines. It was incredible. I loved it. I loved it. Who'd like to be there? And that, it was amazing. There was shouting and hooping and hollering and the whole thing. And it was just brilliant. And then they introduced me and got me onto stage. And there's all the pastors all sit on the stage, beautiful suits, black suits, ties, bow ties. They're all sitting on the stage and all the people are there. And I began to preach. And I thought, my friend had said to me, look, they won't get you. Because you're Australian. They won't get you. They won't get your illustrations. So I got up thinking, oh, man, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'll give it my best. And so that's what I did. I gave it my best. Hallelujah. I gave it my best. And I got about 3 minutes in, and I'm preaching. I hit my first point, and something happened. Like there'd been a bit of mm-mm-mm-mm in the crowd. There'd been a I heard that. That's right. I'd heard that. And something happened. I hit my first point. It was not a bad point. And I felt this thing whack me on the butt. Like a full-on whack on the bum. And I'm a little bit like shaken because that, in honestly, in 20-odd years of ministry, that's only ever happened to me once. It's a good thing. And there's this whack on the butt. I'm like, and the whole church just loses it. They're all, woo! You know, like, just everyone, just raise your hand. I want you to be African American. Woo! Yeah, you're weak. That was terrible. You're far too white. And there's this whack on the bum. You were beautiful. And I turn around and here is this very large African-American man in a beautiful suit and he's taken his sweat rag and he's twirled it up into what we in Australia would call a kangaroo tail. And he's giving me one whack as I'm preaching. And then he says these exact words to me, "Preach! Preach, white boy!" And the whole place erupts and it's like, yes! And I was like, I think that's a good thing. And so that's what I did. I kept preaching and they kept shouting and I kept hollering. And then again about 2 minutes later, whack, preach. And about this moment, I just dug deep and I went deep into my spirit and I found something I didn't know was there. And it was the spirit of Eddie Murphy. And out came these words, and I'm telling you the absolute truth. I cast my mind back to the 80s. I went to Coming to America, and I said these words, "If loving Jesus is wrong, I don't want to be right." And the place erupted. It was spectacular. It was honestly the most fun I've ever had preaching at a church or attending a church or hearing about a church in my life. It was spectacular. So, you know, if you want to get noisy, take out your hankies, ladies. Who's got a hanky? See, having a cold is a benefit because there was hankies waving. It was spectacular. We got some hankies? Lovely. That's what we like to see. So the title of my message this morning is Shout. So everybody, just give me a shout. Ah, I like it. Bit of melanin coming into the skin right there. You know, Corrie ten Boom said this, "If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy." And I want to add to it. I mean, Corrie's a brilliant woman, and I want to add to this, if I could be so bold. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you quiet. If the devil can't make you bad, which you can't. You can't actually do anything. You put a few things in our letterbox, but we get to choose whether we open the junk mail or not. The devil can't do anything to us. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you quiet about what's good. And there is so much pressure on believers these days to be quiet about what's good, to be quiet about our faith, to be quiet about going to church, to be quiet about going to youth, to be quiet about your opinion. There's so much pressure on us to drop our voices and be quiet. Everybody else seems to be able to be loud. You could rant, you could rave, you could road rage. Who hates road rage? You know, when you're on the road and you just see something happen, some guy going past and he's mouthing off at the lady or mouthing off at me. You know, I hate that. I hate road rage. And there's also the long beep, you know, the angry beep. It's more than just a look out. Or, hey, that was a bit dumb. Beep, beep, beep. Two beeps for the car in front of us, and one of us will end up wrapped around the chassis. It's more than just a beep, beep. It's a beep. Oh, man, I just blew someone's head on the podcast. There's that angry beep that just goes on and on and on and on. You know, I think sometimes in the church, we make the mistake of thinking that our job in society is to give the angry beep, that we are the ones to be protesting, that we are the ones to make noise and be, and the world's not listening. Everybody on the road, when they hear the angry beep, they go, oh, who's that doofus? Who's that? Oh man, he needs to sort his life out. In the church, we aren't there. We aren't called to give angry beeps to the world. I believe that we're called to give a couple of toots sometimes, just to go, hey, the truth's over here. Hey, watch out with what you're doing. Hey, the truth's here. That's why I love what Dave Burt's doing with Salt, with all the footy clubs. That isn't an angry beep sitting outside a footy club going, oh, the drunkenness and the debauchery that goes on in the club room, that I'm against that. It's getting into the clubhouse and saying, we can help you with your lives, boys. I love that. And I believe that's what we as Christians in 2018 are called to do, is find ways to get into the clubhouse, find ways just to toot the horn a little bit, but not that angry beep. It's like when Scott Morrison, this is not a political statement, believe me, I can't remember the last time I voted for one of the major parties, but I used to sit next to Scott Morrison most Sundays in church with his hands raised in the air, worshipping God. And it staggered me that within 3 minutes of ScoMo becoming Prime Minister, angry Christians decided this was their moment for hashtag activism. This was their moment to go out and slam the man. And I think, who are you trying to impress when the church turns on itself after 200 and something years of occupation and thousands, many more years of habitation of this country, the great south land of the Holy Spirit? We finally have a spirit-filled man at the top, and all we want to do is slam him. Wow, that was a much more overtly political statement than I wanted to make, believe me. But we need to pray. You go, but I don't agree with this. Pray. Don't hashtag it. Don't try and win people on your side of the argument to your side of the argument. Nobody's listening anyway. Everybody's just in their bunkers. We need to pray because we have on both sides of Parliament. I was a political reporter for 10 years for newspapers. On both sides of Parliament, there are good, godly men and women who are desperately trying to figure out a way how to work through a godless system. So pray for those on the left and pray for those on the right and pray for the ones in the middle who get to make so many of the decisions. Pray for our leaders. That is not in my notes, and I hope that was okay. Where am I up to? Why don't you open the Bible with me? Psalm 23. It's interesting, you know, people are so confused and so angry these days. It's like they're just a moment away from getting triggered, moment away from some sort of outrage. It doesn't matter what it is. Honestly, the issue is irrelevant these days. Everybody just wants to be the first one to voice their outrage. And I wonder, why are people so on edge? Why are they so rudderless? And then I realised that it's because they did. They really, people as a society, you know, we turned away from the Word of God. We turned away, but people in these times are looking for answers still. Believers, Christians, people in this room. Maybe you've been invited by a friend, you wouldn't call yourself a believer, but you're still looking for answers. That's why you came this morning. If you get on Google this afternoon, you type in the letters PSA, it will guess for you. Google actually knows what you're looking for. You're looking for Psalm 23. Because that's what the world is looking for. It is the most searched, the most quoted, the most included in movies and funerals psalm that there is. Psalm 23. And what is it about Psalm 23 that people find so comforting in times of chaos, in times of anger, in times of opposition? Well, I think it's, you know, I mean, we only have to read it. The Lord is my shepherd. You can read it on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside. So this sounds beautiful, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All right? You think about going out there to Hillsville, out there along the tracks and find a green pasture, just go and lie. It's probably a bit chilly this morning. It's not that pleasant. But, you know, go and lie in it. Once the weather warms up, it'll be beautiful. It'll be lovely. Find a bubbling brook, lie beside it. Maybe just have your phone, play a little bit of worship music. It sounds gorgeous, doesn't it? Who thinks that sounds like a nice thing to do? Maybe you're more of a pool person once it warms up. You're just lying by the pool, right? Sounds good, doesn't it? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't like that bit. We just kind of went through a little bit of the valley of the shadow of death ourselves and did not enjoy it, let me tell you. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Everyone say, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I talked to the young adults recently about the rod and the staff being different things. The rod is, the staff is like a shepherd's crook. And the shepherd's crook, which is used for sort of correcting sheep and pulling them out of bushes and all those sort of things. But the rod, and I always thought they were the same thing, but the rod and the staff are actually two different instruments or implements. A rod is more like a baseball bat. And a baseball bat is using for bashing bad things that come and try and eat the shepherds. And so that's the God we serve. We have a God who serves with great care and love for his children. A little bit of a shepherd's crook, pulling us back in line. And he also has a baseball bat, which he reserves not for you. That's good news, isn't it? Has a baseball bat that he reserves for the enemy. So when the enemy tries to touch you or your family or your career, when he tries to touch your finances, when he comes at you with depression, when he comes at you with some other thing about you not being good enough, we have a God who just goes, I'm about to get my baseball bat. I'm about to wail on your skull. That's a good God, right? That's the God I want to serve. That's a no mucking around kind of God. Says your rod and your staff, they really comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs. This is gorgeous. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who loves Psalm 23 right now? Yeah, beautiful, right? You know what? We love babbling brooks, and we love still waters, and we love green pastures, and we love the idea of a banqueting table that goes on and on and on forever, right? We love the idea of goodness and mercy chasing after us like a little happy puppy dog all the days of our life. We love this stuff, and that is all in there, and it's all in there because God decided that it needed to be in there. But I want to tell you something. We actually miss the point most of the time of Psalm 23 because we don't understand ancient poetry. This is what's called a chiastic poem. And the difference between chiastic poetry and the way that we read literature, the way that we read poem, is that the point is not at the end. and it's not at the beginning. Because the way that we think about literature, or maybe narrative, you might go, well, I'm not much of a reader. I never studied English or anything like that. But you do. Has anyone watched a movie in their life? Anyone? Okay. Right. So we understand the way that movies and stories are supposed to, they're supposed to have a really good arresting beginning. So the beginning grabs you, it grips you. It's like, wow, that was awesome. Okay, let's Empire Strikes Back, okay? So it grips you. It's on the planet Hoth. There's giant walking robot thingies, okay? Luke gets cut down by a Tauntaun and Han Solo has to rescue him. He cuts open that Tauntaun and stuffs Luke inside and all the gizzards flow out. You remember it? You know what I'm talking about? Best movie ever. Okay, then there's a bit of a story in the middle and it's kind of the story and it takes us on a journey of Luke's development. And then there's the moment, the twist, the big plot twist, the dramatic end, right? Luke gets his hand cut off and Darth is reaching out to him and says, join me, you know, and Luke goes, I hate you. I don't want to join you. Cut my hand off. And he goes, Luke, what did Obi-Wan tell you about your father? He told me enough. He told me you killed him. No, Luke, mind-blowing, right? I mean, Vader means German, means father in German, so we probably should have seen it coming, but we didn't see it coming because we didn't speak German. What? Join me, together we can overthrow the emperor, rule the universe forever. No, no. And he falls down that big chute. Here's the thing, like, talk about, you think your family's dysfunctional, just cut off his hand and offered him a job. Like, this is a messy family. We understand it though, because that's the way literature works. Got a really good start, bit of a story in the middle, and the big point, the big twist is at the end. That's not the way ancient poetry was written. This is a chiastic poem in the same way as Homer's Iliad was a chiastic poem. The point is in the middle. And so the point of Psalm 23 is not about just comforting us with babbling brooks and pleasant things. It's not even just about comforting us with the thought that one day we'll be in this endless banqueting table and goodness and mercy will follow us and all the days of our life. It'll be incredible. It's going to go with all that stuff's true. But that's not actually the point. The point is smack bang in the middle, this one. For you are with me. And what God was saying in setting up this with a bullseye, the crescendo in the middle is whether you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, or whether you're just having great times in a babbling brook, or whether you're even beyond that, you're just starting to look forward to eternity and the banqueting table, and you're just in that place where good, doesn't matter. If you've had the negative report from the doctor, if you've had a situation in your family, I am with you. If you just got blessed from God, somebody put a check in your pocket and you're so amazingly blessed, God says, I am with you. If you're going through something with the kids at school, I am with you. If you're going through a time of great blessing in your marriage, you look in your wife's eyes, you're so in love, God says, I am with you. If your kids don't want to come to church with you on a Sunday morning again, God says, I am with you again and again and again. It's the whole point of the most famous psalm that's in the most read book on earth. For I am with you. I reckon we just need to sit on that for a few seconds. Just close your eyes and sit on that for a second. Your situation, for I am with you. You know, God may not change the outer circumstances until the inner victory is won. God says, I'm with you. Get about making your victory your own. Get about it. Get about the Word of God. Get on your knees. Pray, for I am with you. You don't understand, God, I've been working through this for too long, for so long. God says, get about claiming your victory. Get about it. Get about claiming victory. Get around the Bible again. Dust off the Word of God. Get to your life group again. Get to youth ministry again. Get to wherever it is that you have fellowship again. Get those things happening in your spirit, for I am with you. God wants your shout back. We've got to get our shout back in the church. If the devil can't make you quiet, he'll make you quiet. He'll force you to be quiet. He'll encourage you, just stay quiet, stay zipped up. Don't expect too much, don't claim too much, don't say too much, don't say it too loudly, don't want too much in God. Because disappointment will only follow after you say those words. I believe God wants to get your shout back. You know, the Bible's full of shouting. It's not angry shouting. It's not angry honking the horn kind of shouting, yelling out the window at you as you turn left or whatnot. The Bible's full of shouting. In fact, there's a shout to heaven. There's a shout from heaven. And there's a shout in heaven in the Bible. The shout to heaven. I've got it here, Matthew 10, verse 46. Where Jesus is walking along, minding his own business. And suddenly there's a raucous shouting amongst the crowd. And the disciples turn and say, "Oi, shush, quiet, shut up, shush. You're breaking up our very particular and warm and nice walk here." And it says the man shouted all the more. He shouted. He says, "I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like. Because my answer is here." This is the blind man shouted all the more. And to the point where Jesus, who I reckon knew exactly what was going on from the first whisper, he didn't need a shout, but he wanted the crowd to hear the shout of faith. And Jesus stopped and he says, "Who's that shouting?" Sounds like me sometimes at home. "Who's shouting?" He stops and he goes over and he says to the man, "What's up?" He says, "I'm blind." Jesus says, "I'll look after that." And he did. It's the shout to heaven. And honestly, in our lives, how many times are there that we just need to let out a shout? You know, when you're going through, "Man, got me. Thought I was going to make it. Can't do it." There's a shout to heaven. Sorry, excuse my emotion. We just went through it. And there are times... Oh, come on, Rin. There are times in your life where you just need to shout to heaven, where you just need to go, "Enough, enough, enough." And just hold on in the storm, and hold on when you're going through hell, and you say, "Enough, God is able." I don't think I'm alone in that. Then there's a shout from heaven. You know, Paul was a rat bag. He really was when he was called Saul in particular. And Saul was going along, had letters from his bosses to kill the Christians. He's heading to a place called Damascus, which is a fairly rough old place these days. And he's heading to Damascus and suddenly there's a shout from heaven. He is arrested in that moment. Says a light shines from heaven, knocks him off his horse, and a voice speaks to him and says, "Saul, why are you kicking against the goads?" Of which Saul says, "What's a goad?" And he says, "It's a long stick for poking cattle. Why are you kicking against the goads? Why are you resisting me?" There's the shout from heaven. And in 2018, I believe that there's a shout from heaven in our nation. And we're the one to carry it. We're the ones to carry it. I'm going to get you to do something right now. A little bit of an illustration. If everybody can stand up, every person across the place can stand up. I might just take a photo and put it on my Instagram as the altar call. That's great. That's fantastic. Okay, so what I want to do, so we've got a few hundred people here. That's great. Well done for coming to church. Just turn to the person next to you, slap them on the back, say, you awesome. Did the right thing this morning. Yeah, good, good, good. Okay. So right now, this is Australia. This is the nation of Australia. So around about 10 to 15% of Australians go to church. 10% go every week. 15 to 20 probably go every few weeks or every so often. They're called churchgoers. So what we're going to do is, thank you very much, folks. You are all saved and going to eternity. Just give yourselves a little round of applause. And that bank there, you can sit down. Is that about 10%? That'll be about 10%. Thank you, guys. Well done. Jesus is smiling. Excellent. I think that's about 10%. I'm just trying to do my maths, a little bit of mental maths right now on the run. Okay, so of those, we've got about 10 to 15% who attend church every week. So the rest of you lot, well, we don't know what you do. I don't know what people do. What do people do on Sunday morning? Buddies? Buddies, right, other church, okay. Across the road, yeah, it's good. We should put sausages on here. That would definitely get numbers up. Okay, so the rest of you lot, I don't know what you do on Sunday morning, but here's the deal. This is according to the Australian Institute of Public Christianity, very reputable mob who did a very large survey a few years ago. These are actually legit stats, okay. So of that, you mob, 89% believe that Jesus was real. That's quite remarkable. 89% of people who don't attend church believe that Jesus is real. So, you guys, I'm really sorry to do this to you. I don't know what you guys think. You might believe something else, but you're not believing in Jesus, so you guys can just sit down. Now, this is not we're only pretending, okay? This is not one of those moments where, you know, sheep and the goats will be separated. So, just for the illustration's sake, please be seated. We know they all do, okay? Father, you know, all right, you guys are safe, still going to heaven, all right. But for the illustration, you guys go to church, well done, good on you. You guys, not so much, not sure what you believe. But of you, the rest of you, okay, 42% of you believe that Jesus not only lived, but that he was divine, i.e. he was sent from God. That's a remarkable statistic. So let's just cut this down a little bit. That's going to leave 60% of you are a little bit unsure. You believe he existed. You know, the history's there, the facts are there, but you're not quite sure. So folks, again, no, I'm not casting aspersions on your faith level, but thank you very much. You can be seated and you can be seated. Cam, we'll have a chat with you afterwards, mate. We can, altar call's coming. You can be seated. I think you guys can probably be seated as well. Okay. And of those that are left in Australia, of people who don't attend church, they believe, these folks believe he existed, Jesus existed, that he was divine, and of those, roughly half believe he existed, he was divine, and that he died and rose again. I mean, these guys are pretty much there, right? So that does mean, though, I'm sorry, folks, Nick, you're a lovely lady, and your husband's scary, so you guys can sit down. Ian, yeah, your row can sit down. No, you're right. You're okay. You're still in the picture. So just look over here, everybody. Just you guys up there, just give us a little wave. Give us a little wave. So all those folks there across Australia, are the ones that currently don't attend church but believe that Jesus was real, believe that he was divine, i.e. sent by God, and believe he died and rose again. If we add those numbers up, that's actually 4 million Australians who are currently out of fellowship despite the fact that they believe the central tenet of our faith. 4 million Aussies. Not just that, in the Shire of Yarra Ranges, I wrote this down, and if I could read my own writing, I would see 24,500 people. Now, there's, I don't know how many, let's say 500 people here this morning. There's 24,000, so more people out there who believe in Jesus, believe he was divine, believe he died and rose again, and they're not currently attending anywhere. They're not going to the Bappos, they're not going to the Catholics, they're not going to anywhere else. They're not going anywhere. Folks, there's a shout from heaven that says, go get them. That's our job. Jesus already died on the cross. He did everything. He did everything. And he said, these things are greater. Will you do in my name? Go into all the world. Shire Yarra Ranges, let's make it easy. Let's go within about 7 or 8 minutes drive of this church. 24,500 people just waiting for you to connect the dots. Let's give a little round of applause to our new brothers and sisters. Thanks, guys. There's a shout coming from heaven that says, go get them. It's nobody else's job. Just turn to the person next to you and say, it's not your job. The person's like, oh, thank goodness. Oh, phew, because I'm not an evangelist. We are all called to do the work of evangelists. When you say it's not your job, you are personally applying it to yourself. This is my job. This is my responsibility. There's 24,500 people within 7 or 8 minutes drive of this church. They live next to you. They're on the checkouts. They're in the school yard. They're at university with you. They're everywhere. Go find them. That's the shout of heaven. Everyone say amen? Amen. You just said I agree. So I got you. You're caught. The Holy Spirit had already got you. I just got you then. You agreed to it. All right, the last thing. There's a shout in heaven. Luke 15, verse 10, Jesus said this. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Rejoicing. There's a shout. There's a raucous shout in heaven. I'm involved in an organization called Youth Alive, and I'm no youth. But the reason I'm involved in Youth Alive is because I'm passionate about seeing young people accept Christ. I accepted Christ myself when I was 19 years old. Maybe you did as well, maybe a little younger. So many decisions are made for Christ as kids and youth ministry, in youth ministry. And that's why we have to love and support and do whatever we can to put wind in the sails of our kids and youth ministries. But it doesn't just end there. There's 24,500 people out there within 7 minutes drive of this church who you just need to join the dots. And when you do, there is a shout in heaven. When a sinner repents, you go, well, you know, their life's messy. They're all messed up in this and they're messed up in that. Excellent. Let God sort them out. You just bring the love of Jesus to them and let God sort out the mess. And that might take years, and that's okay. There's a shout in heaven when somebody repents. There's a shout in heaven when a believer who's gotten a bit wobbly turns back, sets his nose in the direction he wants to go and says, I'm for God. There's a shout in heaven when somebody who hasn't been to church for an age, they come in and suddenly they're reminded that people don't judge them like they thought in their head it was going to be. But people shake their hand and welcome them back. And so much more important than that, that there's a loving God who embraces them. There's a shout in heaven. I'd love there to be a shout in heaven this morning. Why don't you close your eyes? You know exactly where you are. You know where your mind's been at. You know how perhaps cold your heart has become towards the things of God. Let me tell you, there will be no judgment from heaven this morning. There will be a shout in heaven where one person is wobbly, or shaky, or just cold, or hasn't yet made a decision, turns back to embrace his loving Father who's waiting for him. With no one looking around, I just want to give an opportunity. If you're here this morning, you go, that's me. My heart has become cold. And I sat here at church with a little bit of a tremble thinking, is this going to be weird? Are we going to be bored? And it hasn't been any of those things. And instead, what's happened is the Holy Spirit has just been gently knocking on your heart, saying, hey, it's you. This is your morning. This is it. This is the day. You've been waiting. You've been thinking, one day I'll do it. This is the day. One day I'll just get my life really right with God. This is the day. What if I fail tomorrow? Welcome to humanity. Get up, dust off, keep going. What if I stuff up really badly? Welcome to my life. Get up, dust off, keep going. This is the day of your decision. You know, Jesus came, he died, and he did it for you so that he could take the sin and the punishment, went to hell, shook off those big shoulders and left it all behind. And all he says is, come to me. I've got forgiveness and love and wholeness and peace that you're searching for. If that's you this morning, you say, I just need Jesus. Quickly raise a hand in the air and we're going to pray for you. If you just say, I just need God this morning. Wonderful. It's a good decision. I just need Jesus this morning. I've been trying my own way and going my own direction. But with no one looking around, we're not here to embarrass you. Why don't you quickly join this gentleman that's making a decision this morning and say, that's me. I'm getting right with God again. If that's you, 3, 2, 1, raise your hands. Terrific. Okay, I want everyone to pray with me. Get a bit of shout in your voice. Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I repent of all the stuff that I've done, of all the times I've gone my own way. And this morning I choose Jesus. I choose your way. Forgive me, cleanse me, take me on a great journey. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Wonderful. It's 11:30. I think we're almost done, but I reckon we should get the band up. Are they up? Not yet. Let's get the band. You know what I want to do just as we finish? This is not going to go on long because I know you're hungry. We've been talking about shout. Talking about shouting. There's a lot of shouting in the world, a lot of anger, a lot of people just moments away from getting triggered. How about in church this morning, we just have a good rant and a good shout and a good celebration of God, right? Just celebrating our wonderful heaven. We know that right now in heaven, there's celebration because it says that angels party on when one person, party on, bring it, sounds good. So how about, I like you. How about we all stand? I just queued up the band, just rock it out, just do a bit of Rolling Stones or something. I don't know. I don't really care what it is, but I just want you to stand here. I just want us to find our voice. Just go out celebrating. Is that good? Because God is good. He has the answers. We got, 24,500 people to meet this week. You don't have to reach them all this week. You can do it over the next month. But we got a lot of people who your smile, your joy, and your celebration will make all the difference in their life. God bless you. Let's sing.